The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thanks for joining us once again. I'm God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, and we hope you'll join us each and every week at the same time. Tom and Christine Ward are joining us right now, and Tom is in study for the diaconate. Christine, his lovely wife, joining us as well. Christine, welcome to God Calling.
Hello.
Where'd you grow up?
Eastlake.
What, a parish? Go to Catholic
school? St. Joseph the Martyr Parish. Right. Went to Lake Catholic High School.
Was prayer part of your everyday or weekly mass or grace before meals?
Weekly mass.
That's pretty much what I hear from everybody.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a calling for any sort of religious vocation?
No, I wouldn't know. I would never have a calling.
More traditional, marriage, family, that sort
right,
of thing.
Right, wanted to have kids, raise them Catholic.
And you've done that.
Yes,
how many kids do you have?
We have four.
Beautiful. Tom, yourself, where were you born?
I was born on the east side of Cleveland, grew up in St. Jerome's Parish, East 152nd and Lakeshore Boulevard. And then I went to St. Joe's High School, off 185th. And
right in the neighborhood.
Yes, everything in the neighborhood. Growing up at St. Jerome's was very unique. The church was huge, was a very large parish. And I remember as a child thinking everybody was Catholic because everybody I knew went to St. Jerome's. You know, our whole family life revolved around the church.
I never knew anybody that had divorced parents as a kid. Never.
No, we didn't either.
Yeah, we didn't either. Yeah, that's there was no divorces.
A different world.
Yeah.
So you went to school there, like Boy Scouts, baseball, you know, CYO,
CYO sports was very big at St. Jerome's, football, basketball, and baseball also. Mm-hmm. And I had a sister and two brothers, and we all participated in the CYO sports.
Where'd you go after St. Ed's? I'm sorry, after St. Joe's.
St. Joe's. After St. Joe's, I went about 6 months to Cleveland State. And then I met my wife, and her father got me a job at Pick and Pay as a meat apprentice.
All right. You're going to be a meat cutter.
Yes. And then I was a meat cutter for 5 years.
And continuing to date, I take?
One day, my brother called me up and said, hey, Tom, do you want to take the police test, the Cleveland police test? And I said, yeah, all right. And we both took the tests. We scored pretty well, and we both got hired.
Who scored higher?
I did.
It's that competitive CYO thing there. Yeah. Christine, do you ever have any second thoughts about him joining the police force?
Not second. You're always worried. Not second thoughts, though. Yeah. I thought that's something that he really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. You wonder if today a young wife might have some different thoughts, given the way people respect to any profession, not just police work, but people have no respect for anybody or anything, it seems to me. My opinion, but I think
the job has changed considerably
from
when I got on.
For me, being on the news all those years, I developed a very, I'll call it, hard heart. I could see anything. You know, I witnessed an execution, bodies. Yeah, okay. And it's not a good way to be. And it's probably at some point in my life, I'm sure of it, as a matter of fact, it drew me closer to church. Maybe it can drive you away or draw you closer, but I got to have some solace someplace, and that was it. Similar?
Yes. Working the streets in the 6th District, you'd be surprised how many calls for suicides, shooting victims, you know, and deaths. And after a while, it almost becomes routine.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do have to have an outlet for that.
Yeah.
And, that, and the church truly helps.
Christine, tell me about raising the family. First daughter was born, or first child was born.
Was a daughter, yes. They're every 2 years.
Yeah.
And so they were always interested in the same things at school, you know, similar ages and that.
Mm-hmm. Catholic school.
Yes, Catholic school. So with the Holy Cross, which is now Our Lady of the Lake.
I heard a different name for it, though. What was it? Crisscross?
Yes. Yes.
Holy Cross, yes. And St. Chris's. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that from a priest, so it's okay for me to to repeat.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
A lot of them have different nicknames.
Yeah. So, how old are the kids now?
34, isn't she?
Yeah, 34, Amanda.
32, 31, and 28.
Okay, that's a Catholic family. that's for sure. The grandkids?
We have 7.
Wow. You don't look like your grandmother. He does, but you, no, not so much.
The oldest is 5, and the number 7 should be born any minute now. We're waiting for the call.
That's good. That's good. As grandpa, do you try to make sure, or at least encourage them to bring the kids up Catholic and bring them to...
Oh, very much so, yes. My wife watches the kids.
Beautiful.
2 or 3 times a week, and they come over, and... when they're over our house, Christ is part of their life. We have a lot of religious objects in the house.
Yeah.
They'll ask questions, which is very, very heartwarming.
Yeah. And you've got answers. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
There was always someplace on prominent display in like my parents' house or my grandma's house, the palms. It'd be someplace. Might be behind a power cord to a clock, but it was there. And I don't see them as much. Icons sort of things, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe fewer statues at home. I know that's, we'll talk about that later, yeah. Your statue work, but it's important for those little kids to see this.
Yeah, they need to see these things, because a lot of times when you walk into people's houses, and a lot of times at your relatives' houses, you will see how sterile their houses are. There won't even be a cross in their house. And you need them. You really need them for protection, mm-hmm. especially in today's world, the way it's going.
Yeah, and kids are so inquisitive, too. They'll see something, and they'll ask you a question, which opens the door for you to
absolutely,
explain.
Absolutely, right.
Yeah, sometimes too many questions, but that's another story. And one of the reasons that that Tom is here is that you had the call to the diaconate. And we come back after these messages to pay the bills. We're going to talk about that and your thoughts about it as well, Christina. Right here on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Tom and Christine Ward are joining us right here on God Calling. Tom is studying for the diaconate. Christine, Tom first bring this up to you, or did you see it bubbling in him?
Well, I brought it up to him.
Uh-huh.
I just felt that he'd make a good deacon, and we were visiting a parish in Thompson. Our nephew was getting confirmed, and Bishop Pevick was there, and he just has such a light about him, and he was preaching, and whatever he said just came to me, and I just said, turned to Tom at the sign of peace and said, you should be a deacon. Mm-hmm. And that's how the first time he heard it, you know, from somebody, and started thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Other people came to him later on and mentioned it to him. And I think putting all that together, you start to think maybe he should look into it.
Yeah. I heard that from priests quite a bit, that until somebody mentions it, sometimes they're not necessarily thinking about it. And then somebody says something at a younger age. But what was your reaction?
I was stunned. I was very stunned. But I did think about it. Mm-hmm. And as time went on.
A lot of time.
Yeah, it's a long process. It can be a long process. I think one of the things that now I look back at it and am able to piece things together, you know, being a policeman, I work a lot of part-time. And one of the jobs I ended up getting was working part-time down at St. John's Cathedral.
That's where we met.
Yes, yeah. And I worked many hours there. You would be in the church all alone. What I realized what was happening afterwards is spending that many hours, the love that emanates out of the tabernacle, it truly wears you down. And then if you become aware, it works even faster. And then as my wife said, another friend, a couple years later, my friend Lucy said, when I was talking to her, I mean, out of the clear blue, you should be a deacon. I'm like, So I started really thinking about it. And some more time went by. And then a very good friend, Jim Nagel, who I met down also at the cathedral, I've known him for years. And he mentioned it to me. And so I had really taken this into prayer. And then I asked God, I said, God, if you really want me to do this, you know my education, you know me. Have somebody from the church come up and ask me, and then I'll know it's you. And then we were doing a show selling our statues at the Christian Men's Conference, and Deacon Dave Kushner came up to me.
He's the head of the diaconate,
right? At the time, yeah, he was the head of the diaconate, and he said, Tom, did you ever think about becoming a deacon? And I said, yes, I have.
His face was stunned. There is somebody from the church coming up to me.
Yeah.
He said, could you come in? And I said, of course. And we waited a year. He wanted to wait a year to see if it was, you know, still a calling. And he called back in just about like exactly a year and said, are you still interested? And I said, yes, I am. And I entered a formation.
I see the way you look at him. This is radio, so they can't see it at home. I think you dig this guy. And his calling.
Yes.
Yeah. It's wonderful to see. And knowing that your suggestion, your initial seed, over the course of, you say, years, kind of sprouted.
It wasn't my idea. You know, I just feel the Spirit moves you, and you just have to be open to it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sitting there thinking about what he would do in retirement or anything. It just came from Bishop Pevick and just came through me. And it was weird to think that I didn't think about it. You know,
yeah.
it's just moving.
Well, you're still the conduit, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. So what happens next in the diaconate?
Well, it was a five-year process, five long years, and I'm in my final year, and I look back, and I can't believe it's here, you know. And May 6th is ordination at St. John's Cathedral, looking very forward to it. I had my meeting with the bishop Friday before he went to Rome. All of us in class did. And that's one of the final steps. And so all of us are now waiting for a letter from the bishop calling us to holy orders.
Mm-hmm. Christine, I know that we've talked to other deacons, clearly. The family has to kind of buy in.
Yes.
They want to make sure that you're all in with this. Is that a difficult process?
It's not difficult. I think it's a little bit scary or just it's unknown. And but just to support him, it just feels right. It's not anything that's you wouldn't want to do. But, you know, not knowing what parish you'll be at and not knowing where, you know, how your life is going to be, it's just a little bit nervous and exciting at the same time.
Yeah. Well, you're sharing him with a lot of folks.
We get to meet a lot of new people. Yeah, and everybody's been so nice. Anytime he has a field parish, we go, they're very welcoming. They ask, you know, welcome to our parish and ask questions about his journey.
Some of the wives of deacons have said that they all acquire the same name. Mrs. Deacon. Mrs. Deacon. But your spin on that was nice. 'Cause I said something about sharing, and you say, the positive side of it, that people are welcoming and warm, and that's very nice to hear, it seems to me.
Yeah, they've been nice.
What are the steps, Tom, in the formation process?
Well, they start you off slow because most of us have not been in school for quite a while.
Yeah.
So we started off like a basic introduction to the Bible with Father Tosco, who has passed away since. The class was a little bit overwhelming. When you have not been in school for such a long time, a lot of material. And I think since Vatican II, when the church changed, we didn't get the information in school that we probably should have. Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of like all of us making up for lost time, trying to catch up on everything. And then, you know, we had a class on the Trinity, a whole semester, Christology, anthropology. And like this year, we have church history, which has been very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little disheartening because I think we could have had some of the stuff in high school, which really would have helped.
Well, I'm a lot older than you guys, but in my day, they call it catechesis, right? But because I said so. It didn't matter, you know, why do we do this? Because I said so. It was kind of what you got, not to criticize anybody because it was that way for everybody. But now, you know, the kids, they ask questions and they get answers because I think the catechesis is better in our churches and schools, right? Catholic schools right now. So I know the priests do a internship.
Yes.
Have you been out in parishes and done some of that?
Yes. For the last 4 years, we all get assigned a field parish. I'm at St. Augustine's this year.
Oh, sure.
Over in Tremont with Father Bill O'Donnell and Deacon Chris DePenny. And it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet.
They do a lot of great work feeding the people and taking care of the poor.
Thousands of meals at the holidays.
Yeah.
They're shipping them all over the diocese. It's amazing to see. Well, we're going to come back and talk more about the ordination and the diaconate of Tom and his wife, Christine, joining us here as well on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Christine and Tom Ward joining us on God Calling. Tom, a candidate for the diaconate, and we'll be completing that. I read something, Tom, and I don't know exactly what they are, but you're first a candidate, then a lector, then an acolyte.
Yes.
Explain those steps.
Well, the first step, you're called a candidacy by the bishop, and you get installed by the bishop, and the bishop has all the masses for this. And then you're installed as a lector the next year, obviously to read at Mass. The next year, you're installed as an acolyte, and that means you can wash the holy vessels.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, you can purify them, you know, to help the priest out or help the deacon out. So they do take it in steps, and then obviously the final step would be ordination.
Now, there's a bunch of stuff that you can do now, or will be able to do. I mean, funerals without Mass.
Funerals without Mass, baptisms.
Baptisms.
Marriage. And going to funeral homes.
Yep.
And doing service at the funeral home, and doing graveside service,
We're
also allowed to do.
Well, there's no question there are fewer priests, and they need as many hands as possible.
Yes.
It would seem to me.
Yes. One of the big things to help the priests out besides that is deacons are scheduled usually to preach once a month. And once we had a course in homiletics, and that is very time consuming.
Oh, I bet.
And it is a nice break for the priest not to have to preach, you know, on a Sunday to get a break.
Those guys understand those scriptures, boy. The deacons as well, but I mean that they read stuff, and I didn't see that in there. But then after they say it, I'm like, oh yeah, I see that. I see what's going on with that. I read an article about a service that they had for five of you guys. I'm not sure if it was which bishop, but he said, you can only give what you have received, and you can only receive what you have allowed God to give you. Never say no to the gospel. That's some heavy stuff.
Their insights are incredible.
Yeah. So are you planning a celebration, Christine?
Yes. Afterwards, we'll have a reception for him.
Uh-huh. How close have you gotten to the other guys?
We've been together for 5 years. We've gone out to dinner. Everybody is truly nice. Very good men. They have lovely wives. After class, we'll stay after class and talk, and we've become friends.
Probably some of the better talks. I mean, just not so official.
Yeah.
Just
right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have the kind of the wives become sort of a sorority of sisters of the deacons? You know.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, we've gotten together. If they go on retreats, sometimes some of the years the wives have gotten together and gone to dinners and stuff, because when the guys are gone for the 3 or 4 days.
I don't know if it's official preparation, but as Tom is preparing, do any of the other wives of current deacons come and talk about some of the demands?
When we first started, they did, but then COVID stopped everything, and the wives group did break up. But I heard good news this week that they're getting it back together.
Okay.
I think it's just with COVID, nobody getting together, things fell apart. But I think it's a good program to have the support of the wives and to help the new candidates and some of the older deacons' wives too, some of their widows.
Yeah, all support.
Keep in touch with them and pray together.
So important, for sure. You've gone to these various parishes. Do parishes have personalities?
Oh, yes. They all have
personalities. Tell me about that.
Like St. Augustine's, it has a unique personality. Well, it's very, very laid back. The people have been very nice. You know,
very welcoming.
Very welcoming. Now, obviously, they've been welcoming in every parish. I was at St. Mary Magdalene in Willowick, you know, off there off Vine Street, and Father Breck was just tremendous to me. What a nice man!
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that assignment very much. And then, unfortunately, I was Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And then everything stopped, and we did everything remote. And so it was like we really didn't have a parish assignment that year.
Was that tough?
Yes, that was very tough. Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. It's
That was not a pleasant year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there is something to be said for going to class and being with the instructor or the professor as opposed to a Zoom meeting.
Mm-hmm. When they started, I'll never forget it, our pastor started a drive-through communion after Mass. They were streaming the Mass, and they put a big tent up. So I used to, Eucharistic minister. And the first time I went, I had tears in my eyes. And it should be that way every time you go to communion, you know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, you get kind of, you know, go in the name of the Father, something. And, boy, but that first time afterwards, I was like, wow. I really didn't know how much I missed this. I don't remember how long it was, but months. Been doing something else at our parish, which is interesting, too. You ever seen this book? Edward Sree. It's a biblical walk through the Mass. Well, he takes you through every step of the Mass. He makes you think about things, which I had also done and gotten away from maybe a little bit during COVID. When you go to either the baptismal font or the holy water, you remind yourself you're doing this in the name of the Father, Son. You make the sign of the cross. And every little step of the Mass, and you've probably gotten a lot of that classwork, but as just a guy sitting in the pews, I didn't. COVID was good in that way because it brought me back to a lot of things.
Yeah, that's good. You know, everybody should be doing spiritual reading at all times. You should always have a book that you're reading to deepen your faith. That and plus everybody should be doing at some type of novena all the time to draw you closer.
You always were reading down there.
You noticed, yes. I was always reading. Yeah.
Okay. I've seen other guys playing video golf. But that's you probably know who I mean too. I better be quiet. I'll get myself in trouble. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. Any idea where you'll be sent?
No, we find out like 5 minutes after ordination, the bishop will usher us in to the dining room down there at the cathedral and give us our assignments.
Okay. Do they try to take into account geography?
Oh, of course, yeah.
So you most likely get something in Cleveland? Or,
oh, yes.
I don't know where you live now, but they wouldn't send you out to Portage County or
something? No, they don't.
Or someplace like that. Okay. Yeah. Guys, thanks for joining us. Good luck. Stay safe.
Christine, thank you so much
for joining us as well.
Thank you.
Good luck on May 6th and thereafter.
Thank you.
Tom and Christine Ward joining us on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Please tune us in each and every week at this very same time.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.